Okay, turn in your Bibles this morning to Psalms chapter 20. We'll start there. And Heavenly Father, you care about every situation and every detail of our life. Pure and precious promises from the Word of God this morning. If God could write them, well, matter of fact, he does. He writes these words today in heaven for you. And he has you on his mind. And he has you in his thoughts. And he considers you this day. He considers his people. And only a few can send thousands of demons rushing away. The power of God's love and the amazing work of the finished work of Jesus Christ that's within us. So touch these thoughts in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so want you to consider also, and we didn't have a time to talk at the wrap last week about the messages that we gave because it went in another direction, but we will today. But I want to consider, Keith especially spoke, Pastor Keith spoke last week about sacrifices and offerings. Mm-hmm. And we're going to bring that back in a little bit. Lord, just thank you for this time. Psalm 20, and I'm going to go over these first five verses, and then we're going to go, and then we'll come back. It says, "The Lord, hear thee in the day of trouble. The Lord, hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob, defend thee." So God hears us in the day of trouble. And sometimes we are in this trouble and we don't think God is hearing. We don't believe that he even sometimes cares in situations. And especially if these troubles persist, if we're continuing in them, and it's like a stronghold of trouble upon the believer. But he hears us. And that's great news to know that God hears us in this day of trouble. And it's like trouble is all around. I mean, we're stepping one way and there's trouble. We back up and we bump into it. We're going forward and we can see it. And trouble is around. And trouble becomes an enemy. It's not our friend. And it's amazing how the Lord Jesus spoke even about trouble. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled." A persistency of a not allowing trouble into our heart. That's sometimes tough in the flesh. Matter of fact, I think it's impossible in the flesh. Because trouble brings us to worry, and worry brings us to stress, and stress brings anxiety, and the soul crumbles under trouble. Our mood can change so quickly under trouble. We could be in a great mood, praising God, singing glory, and just a little trouble come our way, and our whole mindset is shaken. Our whole world gets turned upside down. Like, God, do you know about this? Do you know about the news I just heard? Because it's crippling me. God hears our trouble. God hears our trouble. And then look at this. This is good. He says, "The name of God of Jacob defends me." So number one, he hears. He hears the trouble, but not only he just hears it, he defends it. Psalm 20. So he hears trouble, and now he's going to defend against that trouble. This is our God. Because, not, it's because of his name. It's because of God's name he will hear, and because of God's name he will defend. And then he uses the name, he goes, even the God of Jacob. And what that speaks of, Jacob speaks of, anytime you see the word Jacob in there, it speaks of a nation. The 12 tribes came from Jacob. It speaks of a nation. So he hears the trouble of the nation, and it also speaks of an individual relationship that he had with a person who was a schemer and a conniver and a scam and every which way of a person. God defended him. God loved Jacob, even though he always wanted to do things contrary to what God wanted. And you know, it just shows this amazing, not because of Jacob, but because of the promise. And through that man,
yes,
the tribes came. And through that lineage, Christ came. Amazing. So he throws in that word of Jacob. Okay, and then look at verse 2. Send help. What a prayer. Do we have to go into any other details? Can we just say, send help? And leave it right there? Because that seems, you know, when somebody is in trouble, this is what we need. Help. We need help. I'm in trouble and we need help. And send it from your sanctuary, or send it from the body. Send help from the people of God. Send help from the church. Send it. Send help. And look at verse 3. So David says this. He says, listen, I want, remember the offerings and accept the burnt sacrifices. David's saying, every offering and every sacrifice, can you remember it? And I want you to think of that for a minute and hold that. We're going to come back to that. But that's a really an unusual thing that he's saying here. And you'll see why. And then he says, grant thee according to thy own heart. God delivers us from trouble because of his own heart for his people. And he defends because of his heart. So grant thee out of thy own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. So remember thee, remember all the offerings and accept the sacrifice. Now grant thee out of your own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. You know, speaking of counsel, God allows certain situations in our lives, and he'll use those situations later for us to counsel one another. However, we must make sure we go to God with counsel. We must go before God with this counsel. Because that counsel then is, we don't know what we get from people. Hopefully it's from their heart and with amazing things that we have as far as what God has allowed us to experience. We can counsel, you know, very godly through the word of God. And we want to make sure our counsel is from the book. We don't want to counsel from even experience too much. I want to give godly counsel and godly wisdom. And that only comes from us being in the book. So we want to make sure that our counsel is godly. And God's counsel is, you know, God's counsel is what my soul needs. I need to be counseled from God. Because when my counsel comes from God, then I know it's in the fullness. That's what it says. The fullness of that counsel. It's coming from the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is where I get my counsel. I get my counsel from the Trinity. And when I get my counsel and God speaks to me godly words, throne words from his throne to my spirit, my human spirit that has been born again, now I know it's godly, and then it becomes full. And when we have full counsel, we can stand on that. See, we don't know what sometimes people, is it mixed with, or is it influenced with personality? I don't want it. I want godly counsel. Not saying that people cannot counsel. We have amazing counselors here in this room that will give you counsel from the Word. And that's what's going to sustain me in a time of what?
Trouble.
Because I need counsel when I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. I need to hear something. I need to hear something from God at this time. And he does it so amazing. And that's part of that defending you. Okay, so verse 5. Look, at we will rejoice in thy salvation. That word salvation, always, not always, most of the time in the Hebrew is the word deliverance. So here he's receiving deliverance now from his trouble. And I rejoice in thy deliverance, and in the name of God, we will set up our banners. Remember last week we talked about the banner, raising up that standard. We raise up a banner, we raise up a standard. Here's the whole thing of this. You're in the middle of warfare, you're in the middle of trouble. Things are coming against you. Not really earthly things, though they could. But most likely they are generated from the atmosphere. This is where our trouble comes from. It's another kingdom. Our trouble is coming from another kingdom. Okay, so here comes this trouble, and we're going to raise up a stand. We're going to raise up a banner. And in Song of Solomon's chapter 2, verse 4, that banner over me is love. And I quote that banner. And I know that covering's there. But the banner was the victory war flag. When God gave victory over his enemies, they would raise up the banner of God. They would raise up the banner of Israel. We have won. We have this victory. We're claiming it. And we talked last week that we need to raise up what God has done for our lives. I'm going to raise up a banner of forgiveness. I'm going to raise up the banner of the finished work. I'm going to raise up these things in my life. But listen here. It's just not raising up the victory banner and just confessing it. See, I can confess forgiveness. I can confess that I'm his. I can confess all these things. But I might not be living it. And there's a difference between confessing it and living it. Because we're going to learn here that it's not about sacrifices and offerings. It's about living it. We live the victory. I don't just confess it. Confessing's good. It's a start. Hopefully the more you confess, the more you believe what you're saying. But if you have doubt in that confession, Satan will dispose and will open that, and you're going to have more trouble. So it's not just, you know, a lot of people will go around just confessing, but we have to live it. They live victory. They live the warfare victory, and we are in the process. We have victory. It's already been won. We need to not just believe it. We need to walk in it. Raise your flag. It's already done. It's a finished work. So we don't just have to name it and claim it. Go ahead and live it. Live in that victory. Live in what Christ has already done. You are forgiven. You have been sanctified. You are justified. You know, we live that. And that's why that banner that flies over me now, that love is because of what Christ did for us. God so loved that he gave his son. He so loved that he called you under this eternal purpose. We live in the eternal victory.
Yes. Amen.
Not in a temporal trouble. The temporal trouble is trying to distract you from living in the eternal victory. Mm-hmm. You got that? The trouble that comes from the atmosphere is only trying to take you off. It's saying, drop your flag. You don't have victory. Drop it. How can you raise it up? You don't have it. Drop it. That's what the enemy wants you to do. Drop that banner.
Drop that banner. And this is what God raises up the banner. God raises it up in your life. And we believe what God is doing. So, okay. Let's go. Okay, let's look at this. Let's get into this. What do we got? About an hour and a half today?
Whatever it takes.
What, I love it. That is so good. Okay, so yeah, just the last part of that five, right? So we will set up our banners and the Lord will fulfill that petition. You know, thank God that the battle is the Lord's. We don't fight against flesh and blood. We want to because we see what has happened and we try to fix it in the flesh. Dangerous. Dangerous. And this is why it talks about godly counsel. And I'm so guilty. Because when I hear something, I want to react. And we must not react. We react without facts. We don't have everything. But we're reacting in what we're seeing. We're reacting. We're trying to put out the fire of that trouble. And we don't have everything. And this is why we need godly counsel before we respond. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm. Well, you don't even have to go here. I can even go over it. But if you want to, I'm going to be speaking in Psalm chapter 40. Okay. So, and remember, we're in war. The raising up a standard took place while they were still in war. Do you get that? Which means the battle wasn't finished yet. But God is saying, go ahead, raise it. It's done. Get that? He's saying, raise up your banner. The victory is done. You might not see the war being over, but it's done. It is finished. So go ahead and raise up that banner. In Psalm 40, it talks about the psalmist David says, listen, I wait patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. Do we know what it means to wait? You know, to wait upon God. To wait upon God before we respond in any situation. And waiting is not inactivity. Warfare is still coming. There's still a battle going on. It's not just sitting there while I'm waiting on God and doing nothing. No, it's taking steps of faith and believing in the promise. I believe in the promise and know that God will come with the deliverance. That's waiting upon God. Waiting upon God is solving and dealing with this trouble in my life. So I wait patiently, and he inclines, which means he's starting to come forward. God is coming forward to my situation, and the reason is because he heard my cry. He heard this prayer. He's heard this calling out to him in the situation. And then he goes through these amazing series of what God does. It says, first of all, he says, and he brought me out of this horrible pit. I am in this horrible pit. And this is what it feels like. The trouble is so bad, it's just horrible. Because I'm looking at it in the result of what I think could happen. Instead of knowing that, hey, yeah, it looks horrible on all sides, but how horrible can it be if God's in it? You know, we look at the trouble and we remove God from it. Of course it's going to look horrible. Of course it's going to be horrible. It's not good at all. It's real bad. But God's there, and if God is in it, it's not that much troublesome. So he removed me from this horrible, horrible. It's just not a normal. This is horrible. The worst situation, the horrible situation. And he says it was like miry clay. It means I'm in quicksand here. And I'm going down. This thing is so horrible. And it's a pit. which means there's not a lot of space going on here. I don't have a lot of room. Everywhere I'm turning and looking, it's still horrible. The situation is still horrible. How can this play itself out? And on top of that, I'm sinking in it. It's swallowing me up. It's a horrible, horrible pit. But then he says that he set my feet on a rock. Now it's going to start doing what God's going to do. I look at the trouble and I see horrible and I see quicksand. God looks at it and says, I've already got you out. You're already out of this. Why are you troubled with it? Because I've already taken you out and I have put you on a rock. And Jesus Christ is our rock. And he's a firm foundation. It's not quicksand. I'm standing solid now. I'm standing solid upon Christ because he's my rock. And remember the psalmist in Psalm 61 says, lead me to the rock. Lead me to that rock. Establish me on that rock. Set me upon that rock that is higher than who? Who's I? It's all about me. I'm having the trouble. I'm going through the difficulties. I'm going through the struggles. Lead me to a rock that's higher than that garbage. Because that garbage is not the victory. The banner's the victory. Yes. Speaking of what the banner says is the victory. You ever see these all these college teams? They have these banners and they wave them around. They run around with them. That's what this is what we're doing as children of Christ. Because we have all these things that it tells about me, you know. So I'm going to raise it up. Sure, I'm in warfare. I'm in trouble. But those troubles have nothing to do with the rock. The rock is solid. My troubles are unsturdy. My troubles, I can be slipping and falling. I can be going down in this clay. That's the trouble. But I don't look on that trouble. I'm not even going to confess that trouble. Remember the woman, Elijah, she runs to Elijah. She just lost her son. She's running to Elijah. And Elijah's servant stops her halt. You're not getting no closer. What do you want? What's going on? What's happening? All's well. All's well? You just lost your son. Look at the confession. Look at the confession from this woman. Can you say that when somebody comes up to you and really asks how you're doing? And by the way, it's not just saying it, really wants to listen how you're doing, not just saying it in passing, but how are you doing? Can you say every single time, all's well? Why? Because you're in Christ. Is not all well when you're on the rock? Is not all well when you're in Christ? Is not all well when you can claim the finished work? That's the standard. That's the new standard. So he established me. He sets my feet on a solid rock. He sets me upon there. And then he establishes my goings, which means when I'm upon Christ, when I'm in Christ, when I know that Christ has me and I'm in him, then everywhere I'm going is going to be established because he's leading me. He's leading me and guiding me. So my goings are established. Christ knows where he's leading me and going me. And he's with me because he's promised he'll never leave me or forsake me. And then he does this amazing thing and he puts this new song in your heart. He puts a new song. Hey, anybody getting a new song recently? Or are you saying, oh, woe is me, I'm on the road to destruction? I mean, is that your song or you got a new song? Do you have a song that God has put in your heart? A song of victory? A song that of, hey, yeah, this is warfare, but I've got a victory song. And that's what I'm going to bring. This is a new song. He puts it in your heart. You know what that means? It's sure. It's in your heart. It's part of you. I can sing this because I know it. I can sing this because I've experienced this amazing love that he's put within me. All right, what else? Where am I at here? Do anybody know where I'm at? Am I on the right track? Am I in the right? Oh, yeah, okay. We're doing all right here. Yeah. Yeah, this is good. Okay, so anyway, he goes through all of this, right? He goes through all these things of what God is going to do for that person who is sinking in this sand and has all these troubles and he's boxed in. And then look at this. For some, right in all of this, all these things that God is doing, in verse 6, it says, sacrifice and offerings did not desire. Sacrifice and offerings thou did not desire. And look at the last part. Burnt offerings and sin offerings I did not require, right? God's saying, these offerings, I didn't desire them, and I didn't require them. Well, what do you mean, God? You laid this out. This was laid out on how to do a sacrifice and an offering and everything unto me. But see, God is already looking at his son, who was an amazing sacrifice and an amazing offering. So God's never going to desire your offering or your sacrifice. Anything that you can offer in sacrifice is not desired or required by God, because it's already been done in his son. Amen. The perfect sacrifice, the perfect offering. So God says, I don't desire it and I don't require it. Back here where we learned in Psalm 20, David's saying, remember all this. Remember these sacrifices. God said, I'm not desiring that and I'm not requiring it. Now, in Genesis 22, which Pastor Keith spoke about last week, a couple things in there. And that was, remember, that was the story of him bringing Isaac. And in verse 1, it's Genesis 22?
Yeah.
Genesis 22, verse 1, he says that God set up to tempt Abraham. And now we know that God doesn't tempt, but follow with this a little bit. So he says, how does this go? So he says, 22 verse 1, yeah, he says, I'm tempting him. Now, temptation is never, when God tempts, remember, it's only to expose what's in you. God is only revealing and bringing out what he's already put in.
Yes.
That's what this is all about. So God is saying, Abraham, I gave you amazing promises in Genesis 15, the promise that it would come through your son. And I've deposited all these things within you, and a lot of time has gone by. Do you still believe that promise? And this was real long times that have gone by. But do you still believe the promise that I've put within you? And I'm going to see. And we're going to go through this. And it's never to get you to fall. And it's never to get you to fail. It's just to reveal the faith that is in you. The trial of that faith in James 1:3. There's a trial of our faith. Is our faith genuine? Will it stand against anything? And this is something. This is a big trial. He's going to be told to take his son and sacrifice him. That's amazing. You know, put him on the altar and sacrifice him unto me. I want to see if you love me. But it wasn't about the sacrifice and the offering at all. It was about surrender. Will you surrender to what I'm asking you to do? I'm not worried about the sacrifice and the offering, because I don't desire it and I don't require it. And especially, it's not going to come from your son. It's going to come from my son.
Yeah.
I'll provide that sacrifice. I'll provide my son for that. It ain't going to be about your son. But will you surrender? Will you surrender? So it's not about sacrifice and offerings. It's about surrendering. Will you surrender, Abraham? And this is where people put the brakes on. because they want it to be, I'm telling you, most people want it to be about sacrifice and offering because they want to control God. God, if I do this, will you do this? If I do this, will you get me out of it? God doesn't care about your sacrifices and your offerings, and they're worthless. He doesn't desire them, and he doesn't require them. They're not required. Now think about this. Even the priest that sacrificed annually unto the Lord, there's many stories that says their heart wasn't even in that. That's why they're not required. That's why they're not desired. Because their full heart wasn't even into really what was taking place. Do you know that this blood is for the sin of the people? And it was just going through the motions. And that's what happens in sacrifices and offerings. And then on the second thing is we can control it. Am I really sacrificing an offering? I'm holding back what I'm giving to God. Oh, I'll give you this, this. No, but you can't have this part. And God says, that's what I want. I don't want these things. I want that thing. Well, I'm not giving you that thing. Are you really sacrificing? Or are you haggling with God? You know, giving him some and giving him other. But bless me, God. And we miss what surrender is. We truly miss what surrender is. In Romans 12:1, he says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. This is your most reasonable form of service. Or the Greek says, your most reasonable form of worship. True worship, true service, is presenting yourself, all of yourself, holy and acceptable to God. You are a living sacrifice. The living sacrifice is surrender. It's not a sacrifice, it's just surrendering. I'm surrendering unto God all because it's his, without us in the way. It's really putting down your flesh. It's dying to yourself daily. It's living unto God. It's presenting yourself to God in Romans 6, 13 and 14. Are you presenting yourself, all of it? Or just the things that you feel? Oh, look how I'm sacrificing to you, God. Not acceptable. I don't desire it. And I don't require it. Not desiring or requiring any of that. It's all about his son. He's saying, listen, just accept my son. Believe in that. And die to yourself. And when you die, you are risen. You raise up. You become a living. Even though you die to self, you are a living sacrifice. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but it's Christ that lives within me. That's amazing. Surrender. Surrender. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loves me and died and gave himself for me. Full surrender. It's just dying to self. And as we die, we live. We live. So, in a regular sacrifice and offering, really, what is the desire of your heart? I mean, what is your desire? What is your motive for sacrificing and offering unto God? Because we all have, you know, we all have this heart that is wicked and deceitful above all things. And the Bible says, who can even know it? That's why Jesus Christ did the complete will of the Father. The complete will of the Father. It's taking up our cross in Matthew 16. Let's turn back to, where did we start? Psalm 20. Psalm 20, yeah. Turn back there. As we learn to walk in His love, as we learn to surrender, surrender is discovering His love for me. As I surrender, I start to learn more and more about this love. Because it goes far beyond what our human minds can even try to give a definition of. But it goes way beyond that. And as I continue to walk in this love, I'm discovering His love, but I'm also uncovering more of that love. So I discover and I uncover, and in this uncovering is where my mind starts to get transformed. It's all part of surrendering. It's all part of surrendering. Victory of raising this banner is in the surrender. The victory doesn't happen until the enemy says, "We surrender." Victory. Victory. And everything else that comes with that. Even all the spoils from the enemy are now ours. All the blessings because of surrender. Not that you look for, man. There are people that will look for blessings. God, I'm doing this. Bless me. Surrender, and I will. Well, what about this, and this? I don't require it. I don't desire it. Different thought. So I'm dead unto sin. I die unto sin in Romans 6:11, and then in that dying unto sin, now I'm alive unto God. Being alive to God is death and victory. it's something. Okay, look at back to 20, right? So now we're going to remember God. Remember all the offerings and accept the birth. Wait a minute. Wait, before I go there, let's... So it's the second one I did. What is it? Psalm 40? Yeah, hit that. Let's go there for a minute. Just one thing here. It's really pretty cool. Okay, yeah. Here it is. So Psalm 40, right? And in verse 6, look at sacrifice and offering thou did not desire. And then the end part, burn offerings and sin offerings thou hast not required. So those are the desire and the requirement. Look in the middle of this. It's an unusual little thing that's put within here. It says, my ears thou hast opened. So wait a minute. He's saying, sacrifices and offerings I did not desire. Burnt offerings and burnt sacrifices I did not require. In the middle, I opened your ears. That is amazing. That is so amazing. God opens our ears that we may hear. That we may hear. As we hear God's word and this transformation starts to take place, I'm automatically surrendering to the will of God by hearing. By hearing. Not by doing. This is in a doing of a surrender. And I was talking to Miss Edith yesterday and we were talking about this a little bit. And you know what? This is the hearing. The hearing of God's word is where we come into His presence. And as we come into His presence, what are you going to do as you stand before the presence of God? Look what Isaiah said. And look what Joshua said. I am before you. I have all this garbage upon me. I can't stand in your presence. I can't stand before the presence of God. Because we look internally. And when we look internally, we see that, wow, I haven't given God this. I haven't given God this. I haven't surrendered to this. And all these things go internally to us. Because we're human. But when you stand in your presence, When you stand in the presence, just get in his presence. Then you, then by hearing, hearing his word, and that word starts to change you, then you're going to say, I surrender all. You can't say that unless you know who Christ is. You can't say, I surrender all, unless you know about the finished work, that it's already done, that your sins have already been paid for, that you don't have to pay for your sins. You don't have to do anything but accept Christ as Lord and Savior. That's it. There's nothing that's added to grace. There's nothing that's taken away from grace. It's already finished. It's already a finished work. This is the good news of the gospel. By knowing that Christ did it all, we can surrender then all. By just hearing. By just hearing his word. Just believing by faith with what that word says within our hearts. Okay, back to 20 and we'll close here. Because I know some of you heard that we're having pancakes today. Okay. This is in verse 6. Now know, Psalm 20 verse 6, we did the first 5, right? The banner is up. The fulfillment of all the petitions. Everything is done. Everything is finished. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. The saving strength of God's right hand. God will deliver you. God saves you. He delivers you. All your trouble, he will defend you. He will raise up a standard. He will raise up the banner and the right hand of God. He hears us from the right hand of the Father. Jesus Christ sits at the right hand of the Father. This is calling upon Jesus Christ because that's where our saving strength comes from. Strength, not outward strength, not strength to get through my day. No, inward strength. The inward strength is the renewing of the new man. This is why we put off the old and we put on the new. We surrender to God because it is written. He writes us. He's not worried. He doesn't want our sacrifices and he doesn't want our offerings. He wants us. He wants us because he saved us by his mighty right hand. And then he says, some trust in chariots and some trust in horses because that's all they had there. Today, some trust in their iPhones, some trust in their abilities, whatever. You could put anything you want in there. Some trust in technologies, some trust in the government. It's all whatever is going on in the day. And remember about this world and this world system. It will continue to push new things your way. Something to get your occupation and your focus off of Christ. Something new. I always want something new. I got to have the newest, greatest, most wonderful thing. And the world will keep producing it. And it'll keep throwing it at you all the time. And some trust in those things. Some trust in the government. Some trust in this world, in this world system. But we remember the name of the Lord our God. They brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Your enemies will fall before God, and God will raise us up before him. God will always raise you. Whatever trouble you're going through, whatever situation, whatever hardship, whatever difficulty that has plagued your mind. And by the way, trouble will fill every ounce of your thinking. Trouble will come in and preoccupy every thought if you allow it. If you don't cast it down in 2 Corinthians 10:5. We must cast down those vain imaginations, those vain thoughts that raise itself. Remember, Satan's trying to raise itself up against the glory of God. And God is saying, no, they're going to fall before me and I'm going to raise you up before them. That is full victory. That is that banner over us. And then in verse 9, it just says, save, Lord. Save, Lord. What did Peter say when he was sinking? help, save, Lord. Just save us. Just deliver us. And God's promise, because of his book, it says, let the king hear us when we call. And our God hears us. God answers your prayer. Surrender under the mighty hand of God. Surrender before him. Great victory is from surrendering. It's not even from fasting or all these things that we can do as believers. We can make up all these religious things. Oh, if I fast more, I'll break through this and God will give me all the... No, just keep hearing. It's already done. Satan has already been defeated. Sin has been put away. You know, so it's not in these sacraments. It's not in these little things that we can do. It's not about our sacrifice. It's not about your offering. If it was all about you, then you would have been on the cross. But it's not about you. I'm sorry to say it's not about you. Stop with the sacrifices. Stop with the offerings and just surrender. Surrender unto the Savior. He is the King. He's the mighty King and he lifts up. Amen. Let's pray and let's bow our heads and let's pray for our families. Let's pray for our children. Let's pray for every person that God puts us in contact with. What an opportunity to serve. Pray for your jobs. Don't blast your job how bad it is, even if it is. Thank God for it, because promotion comes from that. We are to be the best employee that we are in the situation that we're in. We are to give our all at all times. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you that it doesn't depend upon our sacrifices and offerings, because we would have failed so many times. We just surrender under the mighty hand of God. And we come to you. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit that has filled us. We thank you for your love. We pray for our families. All the prayer requests that is upon our hearts. And sometimes these things make us so heavy. We become heavy under the pressure of them, Lord. But we cast these cares upon you, because you care for us. Trouble that's in our life, situations in our life, just release them right now. Don't even think about them no more. Just give them to God. That's where they belong. They belong with him. Lord, we thank you that you deliver us. We thank you that the banner over us is love, that you have lifted up a standard in our lives. That standard is the cross. That's our banner. If there's somebody here that has never accepted Jesus as their Savior, you don't join a church, you come to Christ and Christ alone. You don't join a denomination, you come to Christ. And he puts you where he wants you. But I just want to let you know today, he died for your sins. All of them, past, present, and future, for one reason, that you may have life eternal. We're talking about eternal life, not temporal. With nobody looking around, if somebody wants to accept Christ, just lift up your hand and put it down. Let me pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for the word of God that loves us. We pray for Bible college. We pray for this city. We pray for this country, Lord. We pray for souls, those that don't know Christ. Give us a desire to win the lost. Give us a desire to evangelize. Lord, just bless the offering and our fellowship afterwards. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.